welcome to the Door of Life Church podcast. Our mission is to share the love of Jesus with the world and believers, to teach them how to walk in victory, and to help them find and fulfill God's plan for their life. If you have any comments about today's podcast, please contact us through our website at dooroflife.org. Door of Life Church, where faith meets real life.
Well, you know, just as a kind of a quick little additional follow-up to that word this morning, you know, just even chatting a little bit with Gay and just about how that it is an amazing thing how we've got all these amazing things on the inside of us, and there is a, you know, and that's what I just kind of sensed. That word was almost like a, there's a scripture that says, awake unto righteousness and sin not. It's talking about a kind of realizing the time. There's also a waking up to who you are in Christ, and a waking up to who it is on the inside of you, and a waking up to the amazing things that God has given us. And that's just kind of that word that I sense, that there is a, these things are true. Whether I had a good day or a bad day, it doesn't matter. You have the power of the Holy Spirit living on the inside of you. You have everything that you need that pertains to life and godliness through these amazing, great, and precious promises. You know, you really can do all things through Christ. And it is one of those things that we need to be continually reminded and exhorted to just kind of remember who we are. And there's got to be nothing more frustrating to the enemy when he works on you, strategically sets things up to get people to say things to bring you down. And you're down and you're frustrated, and all of a sudden you just by faith look up and look out and go on for God. All but there's a bunch of stuff you don't even work through because of who you are in Christ. That's got to be the most frustrating thing to the enemy. When he's got you on his merry-go-round and you just get off the merry-go-round and start living for God by faith because of what God's done in you. Boy, when you can do that, you're beginning to get some traction spiritually, and it gets very tricky for the enemy to fool you. But that's kind of a word that we need from time to time, just an exhortation to get up, look out who you are. You are amazingly blessed in God in Christ. Nothing can get between you and his love for you. You've got his grace. You've got his peace. Let's just by faith begin to walk in what God has called us to do. Praise God, because what he's blessed us, what he's put on the inside of us. Well, this morning we're going to start with a passage of scripture here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. This is the Apostle Paul writing to the Corinthian church. He says this, just talking about the body of Christ. He says, for as the body, the physical body, is one and has many members, but all the members of that body, being many, are one body, so also is Christ. That's very profound. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jews or Greeks, whether slaves or free, and have all been made to drink into one Spirit. For in fact, the body is not one member, but many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, am I not of the body? Is it therefore not of the body? And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I'm not of the body. Is it therefore not of the body? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the hearing? If the whole body were hearing, where would be the smell? But now God has set the members, each one of them, in the body, just as he pleased. This is a wonderful, powerful, and humbling truth, you know, that God, when we receive Jesus as our Lord, of course, we didn't really know much about the Bible, probably knew very little about the Bible at the time. We heard the message that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and all we knew is that we were sinners, that we had missed it, and we needed a Savior. We needed grace. That's all we knew. And so we've heard the gospel preached. The Holy Spirit reveals to us our sinful condition. We see the cross makes sense. Only sinners need a Savior, right? I mean, if you're not a sinner, if you're already perfect, if you can stand right in your own righteousness, you don't need Jesus. But we found out that nobody can do that. And the Holy Spirit made that real to us. And so as we realize that, okay, yes, we need you, Jesus. I need grace. I need forgiveness. We receive Jesus. We receive the forgiveness of sins. We maybe experience tremendous peace, but there's a lot of stuff that went on behind the scenes at that point of decision. We've talked about many of these things before, how the fact that when that happened, the old man died and you became brand new in Christ. That's what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says. If any man is in Christ, you receive Christ. It says, the old man has passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You're brand new on the inside. In other words, God didn't just refurbish your old spirit. He recreated your human spirit and made you a new person. It's really what qualifies you, gives you the ability to go to heaven. I mean, your human spirit has been made righteous. It allows you to stand in the presence of a holy God because of what he did on the inside of you. Not only that, but he also puts the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. The very presence of God is, now we are the very temple of the Holy Spirit, which means the presence of Almighty God now lives on the inside of us, which is an amazing thing. Another way the Bible says that point of decision, it says we were translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. And so we saw that at that point of decision, we switched kingdoms. We went from a spiritual kingdom of darkness to the spiritual kingdom of light and God's dear Son. Another one of those invisible things you can't see with your natural eye. Another thing that John says, he said, behold the manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the children of God. Another one of those amazing things, we're in the family of God. In other words, when that old man became new, a new person, it's what Jesus told Nicodemus, you got to get born again. And that's exactly what 2 Corinthians 5:17 is talking about. When the old man passes away and all becomes new, that's the new birth. That's born again. You're a new person in Christ Jesus. That new person is now a child of God. You're in the family of God, not just the kingdom of God in terms of a legal domain. You're in the very family of God. And the spirit that he puts in your heart literally cries, Abba, Father, Daddy, Daddy. These are all things that happen at the point of our decision. Invisible things we can't see with our natural eye, but we will experience in fullness one day. And the other powerful, amazing, invisible thing that happened to us was this right here. And really, I like the way the scripture puts it here in verse 13. For by one spirit we were all baptized into, that's immersed into, he took you, he not only made you new, he took that new creation and he immersed you into the kingdom of God, into the family of God, and into the body of Christ. So now I stand here in God's kingdom, part of his family, as a new person with the Holy Spirit in me, and also a part of the body of Christ. I am a body part in the body of Christ. That's another one of my identities, along with the new man and the Holy Spirit and the family of God and all that. I actually have a functional place in God's body. That's really exciting, powerful. And not only just any old place in the body, but the Bible says that God set the members, each one of them, me and you individually, in the body just as he pleased. So when the Holy Spirit baptized me into the body of Christ, he didn't just randomly throw me into the body. I was, by the power of the Holy Spirit, set in a specific part of the body just as he pleased. This is a sovereign work of God. This has nothing to do with my faith or believing or anything like that. This is God sovereignly setting me in the body of Christ to do a specific function, have a specific role in the earth as part of his body. That's a very wonderful thing. And that's really what I want to look at this morning in terms of realizing that we are part of the body of Christ. And it is a very, just as sure as the Holy Spirit is real and the new birth is real and that I'm a child of God is really real, you are really, really a part of the body of Christ. These are things that are absolutely true, and as you begin to see it, it will cause your life to take definition and bring your life into focus and purpose. One of the heart cries of man in general, just philosophical heart cries, is why am I here? Boy, when you get this, this answers the question. Thank God he sent Jesus to die on the cross for our sins that we can recognize his love. When we respond to his love, he further begins to show us his purpose in verse 18. He has a plan for our life. He put us some place specifically in his body to do stuff. Now, as you look at the church, we think of the church, you know, as a whole. There's different levels we think of the body of Christ. There is the universal body of Christ that is scattered out through heaven and earth that the scripture talks about. There's also the local body of Christ, which we are, Door of Life, and various other local churches here. And in the Apostle Paul's day, he had a lot of different local churches he was writing to. There's the church of Philippi and Colossae and Thessalonica and the different churches in the Galatian region and Ephesus. And they had a bunch of local churches as well, too. And you'll notice that when we talk about the body of Christ, you're really talking about kind of in two tiers. There is kind of the global sense of what I'm called to do in a generic sense, but also specifically, God is going to have things for you to do on a local level that'll help and connect and be a blessing and part of the local church as well. So we've kind of been doing a series, if you've noticed, in the last few weeks on Door of Life, okay? And this is going to be the concluding message on our, what I'm simply calling Door of Life 101 series, okay? We've talked about who we are and, you know, how we got here and what we believe. And we've talked about our vision statement, our mission, our purpose, what we're doing. And the kind of the final message of this series I'm simply entitling Door of Life Christian Church, How to Get Connected, okay? We know that, you know, when you became a Christian, God puts you in the body of Christ. And one of the great, wonderful, powerful, functional purposes of the local church is to help you discern, find out, perceive where God has connected you in the body of Christ. It helps to do that. It helps you to see and discover some of those, you know, good works, the Bible says in Ephesians 2:10, good works he's ordained us to walk in. That Ephesians 2:10, good works he's ordained us to walk in are directly connected and related to where he placed us in the body of Christ. And so, again, this morning at Door of Life, I really want to, in this, you know, if you're visiting today, obviously plug in your church home name, all right? This message is for anybody in the body of Christ because it's applicable across, you know, all churches, all denominations, whatever it is. These things we're going to look at this morning are direct principles from the Word of God. So they are not Door of Life specific. I'm simply, you know, putting Door of Life up there because we're doing a specific series as it relates to our church, but this applies to your church, your home church, wherever you're from. So, but how to get connected. It's amazing all the blessings God's done in me by virtue of being in Christ, but there are blessings that God has for me that I will get by being connected and receiving from the body of Christ, okay? In other words, let me put it this way. There is stuff God wants to get in you and through you and to you that you just can't get in your prayer closet. This is the humbling part of it. He's connected us to a body. We're not, it's great to know who you are in Christ and all that, and praise God, we're all about that. But the Bible doesn't stop there. You got to go with the whole Word of God, all the counsel of God. And we're going to see in the Word of God that there is a powerful truth that I am not, just because I've got all those great things, I am not Ed House representing the fullness of the body of Christ in me. I am one member of the body of Christ, empowered by the Spirit of God, but I am one piece of that picture. And we're going to see, again, in, you know, our front text, it shows that we're a body with many members. So the fullness of the body of Christ isn't going to function just through me. It's going to take all of us working together. And that's what I want to look at this morning, how to get connected. Okay, I feel like God has called me to Door of Life. What now? How do I really get connected and involved in what God wants me to do here at Door of Life? What are different levels of and ways that I can actually get connected to the church that God has called me to be a part of? And the first one, I just want to say off the bat, as far as getting connected, and these will all, this will be kind of an alliteration of words you'll see as we go, but the first one is presence, okay, presence. And that's, you know, we can look at some scriptures here along those lines, and by presence, I just mean you're being here. You are absolutely physically being here. See, it's not just you physically being here. The treasure that's in your earthen vessel is here. Your spirit's here. The Holy Spirit in you is here. There is a wonderful You bring a lot with you when you come to church on a Sunday morning. And the scripture just exhorts us various places in the Bible. Hebrews 10 says, "Let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as in the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much more as you see the day approaching." The easy to read says, "We must not quit meeting together, as some are doing." No, we need to keep on encouraging each other. This becomes more and more important as you see the day getting closer. Praise God. Yes. And we see the day getting closer. And it's important. You'll see the connection there. Consider one another and to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking, you know, but exhorting. And so there's a powerful thing that happens just in the presence of coming together. You know, you wake up and think, "I'm coming to church today." But you have no idea specifically what God's going to say to you or who he's going to put in front of your path. There is a real element of mystery every time you come to church on a Sunday morning of who might speak into your life, whose life you might speak into, what you're going to hear, what you're going to get. It's a wonderful element of mystery there. You're just coming by faith. And when we come together, there's a powerful presence of believers when we on purpose gather together in his name. And so let me kind of say this too, in connection with this. We've got our men's ministry, which is called Halftime, which is kind of that idea that we come, and if for guys, it's kind of like a football game and it's halftime and you come together to kind of hang out, get rest, strategize, make some tweaks, make some adjustments. And that's very aptly named. And that's very true for the body of Christ as a whole. When we're coming together on purpose, this is like a spiritual halftime. It is like a timeout. It does give us that time to reflect, to refocus, and to really just learn and to grow. But also, I love just to lie down in those green pastures and rest and worship. We need these times. We just need these times. And it's true, when you see in a competitive sporting event, one of the things that you realize, and if you've been a Christian very long, you realize that we're not playing with home field advantage down here. The Bible calls Satan the prince of the power of the air. He's the god of this world. The world's systems seem to have an advantage. Well, they do. Because of the god of this world. Because of Adam's fall. Because Adam sold out to Satan. And so Satan has a certain level of dominion and authority down here. And we can see that. And when we're down here, we're not the home team. When you're cheering for the Packers, there's a difference for the Packers when they're playing at Lambeau Field, all right, or whether they're playing in Foxborough in New England. When they're playing at home, Green Bay is probably the best home field advantage you could have for the Packers. But when they're playing in Foxborough in New England and they score a touchdown, the crowd doesn't go wild. It's quiet. It's silent. But they have to know by faith that all the Packer fans in Wisconsin are jumping up and down in front of their TV sets. Even though they can't hear those cheers, they know they're happening. And the importance of presence and coming together is we do stuff out in the world, and CNN doesn't break their newscast because they heard you prayed for somebody and they got set free from something. That's not going to happen. But one of the powerful things is when we come together. Let's just say, let's go back to Foxborough. And there is a touchdown. The crowd is quiet. But those Packers, those teammates gather around and they cheer. And they're high-fiving and they're excited. They don't need the cheers from that crowd to know they've done something good. And they're encouraging each other in the face of maybe the booing and the silence and that awkward silence. And again, coming together as the body of Christ on a Sunday morning, we're taking some time out, and this is where we're here to cheer each other on, to exhort each other, to be able to catch our breath and be refreshed. And so presence is a big part of being connected to the body of Christ, is really just being here. Ephesians 4:14 through 16 says that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. It's an amazing thing to see how spiritual growth is a corporate deal that happens. It's not just a preacher preaching a message on a Sunday morning, but there is a knitting together. And you see that there's a knit together by what every joint supplies. Every one of us, every part of us has a supply, has a strength, has something that we bring. When you come to church on a Sunday morning, you're bringing something of you. You're bringing a supply and a strength. And it's important to realize that a lot of what happens here, you know, even in that maturing process, it'll happen in the 4 years before and after the service. Or, you know, as we're between, you know, the ministry of worship and the ministry of the word, your dialogue, your communication, your fellowship, what's happening in there? There's exhortation to love and good works as we're coming together. There is words that you're speaking, life that you're imparting. You know, some of the greatest things that you're going to get on a Sunday morning isn't necessarily going to always come from the message. It might just be the something somebody said to you before or after a service. That was exactly what I needed, the word in season. It's great to receive that. It's great to be that word, to be used of God. So these are functional things that are going on. God is using us. He's using us together. So don't get an idea of just minister, but you have a supply of that spirit. You're part of the ministry that's going on every time you show up. There is a grace and a strength that comes from that. And at this point, I just want to also make a note that when it comes to church, and you've probably heard this before, but there is no perfect church, okay, on a local level. And a lot of times, you know, the perfect church is that church that just kind of, you know, everybody walks in love perfectly all the time, and the theology 100%, there's never even a little bit of variance, it's just da-da-da-da-da. That church doesn't exist. And like somebody said, if it does exist and you find it, you're going to ruin the whole thing, you know? So you might want to stay away from that church if you do find it. It's a great little anecdote. Jim Smith went to church on Sunday morning. He heard the organist miss a note during the prelude and winced. He saw a teenager talking when everybody was supposed to bow in prayer. He felt like the usher was watching to see what he put in the offering plate, and it made him boil. He caught the preacher making a slip of the tongue 5 times in the sermon by actual count. As he slipped out through the side door during the closing hymn, he muttered to himself, "Never again. What a bunch of clods and hypocrites." Ron Jones went to church on Sunday morning. He heard the organist play an arrangement of A Mighty Fortress, and he was thrilled by the majesty of it. He heard a young girl take a moment in the service to speak her simple, moving message of the difference her faith makes in her life. He was glad to see that his church was sharing in a special offering for the hungry children of Nigeria. He especially appreciated the sermon that Sunday. It answered a question that had bothered him for a long time. He thought as he walked out of the doors of that church, how can a man come here and not feel the presence of God? Both men went to the same church on the same Sunday morning. Each found what he was looking for. As we're talking about being connected, and as we're talking about presence, again, we're not coming to church as the prophet of God to find the spots and the wrinkles that are there and to be the correction and the judge. No, 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 no. We're coming to partake. You just see the language of love. Don't you see that? I mean, you know, speaking the truth in love that we may grow up, and there's a knitting together. There's a sweetness. There's a fellowship. There's a camaraderie. The language of family is all over the scripture. So we come to church very much in our natural families where we know there can be dysfunction and imperfection. In the same way, spiritually, as we're all growing up, we realize that, yes, in our own spiritual body, there may be some rough edges and different things of which I'm part of it, and I'm growing and I'm developing. So I don't come to church with some expectation of perfection, or do I feel like I'm the prophet of God that has to fix everybody and correct everybody? Not at all. I'm here to minister, to speak the truth in love, to sweetly encourage, bless, strengthen, be that teammate that's going to say, it's all right. I don't care if you fumbled or you dropped the pass or whatever. That's all right. We'll get them next time. It's all right. We're here to encourage each other, to exhort each other, to build each other up, to be helpful teammates and set each other and keep each other on track. So that's the expectations as we come together. And another powerful thing too, you know, Jesus said something along these lines. He said, again, I say to you that if two of you agree on earth concerning anything that they ask, it will be done for them by my Father in heaven. For two or three are gathered together in my name, there I am in the midst of them. Amplified says, where two or three are gathered, drawn together as followers into my name, there I am in the midst of them. This is a powerful truth that we need to understand as well, too. Thank God he lives in us by the Holy Ghost. I will never, ever be alone again in my life. No matter what, the Lord is with me. I will not fear what man can do to me because he's always with me wherever I go, through the valley of the shadow of death. His presence lives on the inside of me. However, there's another manifestation of God's presence other than just God in you, and that is God among you. There is also a corporate presence of the Spirit of God. And read throughout the book of Acts, you will see a corporate presence of the Spirit of God. And within that corporate presence, God did stuff. There is something, I'm sure it's devil-defying, when you come together on purpose in Jesus' name to exalt and lift up the name of Jesus as a group, two or three or however many of us, there is a corporate presence of the Spirit of God that manifests. I've been walking with God for a while. I know the difference between the glorious manifestation of the presence of God I'll experience in my own prayer closet, but there is another kind of corporate presence that'll happen in a service that is bigger than just me, God blessing and ministering to multiple people at the same time. And you can tell that God is speaking to his family, to his children. There's another dimension of his presence. Here we see it in Acts chapter 13, just as an example. It says, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets, teachers, Barnabas, Simeon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Mahon, who had been brought up with Herod the Tetrarch, and Saul. Now they ministered to the Lord and fasted. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate to me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Then having fasted and prayed, they laid hands on them and sent them away. These are guys that have come together on purpose to worship God together. And you wonder how Paul's famous missionary journeys began. Paul didn't get this word in his prayer closet. He got this word as he was ministering with fellow believers, and the Spirit said, you know, separate to me. That could have been a prophecy. It could have been a tongue and an interpretation of tongue. It could have, you know, just somehow God communicated corporately that it was time for Saul and Barnabas to get separated for that missionary work that he'd called them to do. Isn't that an amazing thing? Have you ever had that happen where you've come to church on a Sunday morning, you just came to be faithful and to be plugged in, and God will give you a specific something in your heart? He could show you right in the middle of worship. He could answer questions, unravel things, give you direction. And it's an amazing thing how things will come. And again, I can just talk with my little 30 years of plus experience of just living, walking with God, both in my prayer life, individual secret place time, and my corporate worship time. There is stuff that I get here as being connected to the body that I don't get in my prayer closet. There are words that will come forth from other people, you know, in the ministry. You know, whether it's even in our service, we've got a tongue and interpretation of tongue this morning, or whether it's in a different form of prophecy or something like that, you're going to get stuff simply because you were here in presence, and God was able to speak some things to you to help you and to bless you. So your presence is really, I want to say, the number one way you connect with the body is when you can come here. And you notice that coming to church, it's kind of like, you think, well, that's easy, just come up and show up to church. Well, yeah, it is, you know, in the natural to get in your car and drive. But you'll notice that there's always a spiritual battle going on. And it can be a spiritual battle to get to church on a Sunday morning. You know, just as it can be a spiritual battle to just pick up your Bible and read it. You know, you could have a magazine sitting next to your Bible, and there's just no resistance to pick up that magazine and read it. But boy, as soon as you start going here, then, oh, there's all of a sudden, your mind just, I'm hungry, I got to do some things. I got really busy, I really got to get through my to-do list. There's a fight, you know, to pick up a Bible that you don't get when you're reading, picking up some secular periodical or book. Nothing's fighting you over that. All the time in the world for that, to watch something. But when it comes to this, there is a spiritual battle. Same with, you can hop in your car and go to the church, you can go to the BP, you can go to the Walmart, but go to church. Kind of the same thing. There can be a battle that you've got that'll go on. So your being here is a big deal. And it blesses the body of Christ. It blesses your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. It's a big way that you get connected. Now, of course, we're not keeping some hard church attendance, not a condemnation thing. Being connected, being a part of the body, it's here for you. It's here for your sake to be a blessing. You are a blessing to other people in the body of Christ. But, you know, a lot of times people will take this concept and really go to the extreme. If you miss church, you're going to hell. If you don't hit all the services, you're going to be, whether you go to heaven or hell has nothing to do with church attendance. It has to do with what Jesus did on the cross for you. That's why you're going to heaven, all right? Being a part of the body of Christ is not something I'm doing to impress God so that I can go, my presence, my showing up here is because there is stuff here in his presence that he's going to manifest, he's going to help, he's going to bless, he's going to use me. I'm going to be a supply of the Spirit that is going to be a strengthening part of the body of Christ. I'm going to have my fellow teammates. I'm coming out on a halftime from the flesh, the world, and the devil to be encouraged, to be lifted up, and to say it's all right, you're going to make it. We're coming here for those reasons. We're coming here. God put us in a body for our sake, that we can encourage each other and strengthen each other. So presence is the first big one. The other one aspect that you can really hook up with the ministry at Door of Life Christian Church is prayer. All right, this is huge. And we'll look at, you know, the Apostle Paul. You know, the Apostle Paul, of course, amazing man of God, wrote over half the books of the New Testament, evangelized pretty much the known world at the time. But when you look at his life, you'll be amazed at all the times he would ask people to pray for him. He'd just get done instructing and correcting a church, and at the end of the book, he'd say, pray for me. Pray, pray, pray for me. Prayer is a big deal when it comes to church. It's a big deal as far as what you can do in being connected to a church. And again, like in the same way, there is no such thing as an ideal, perfect church. There's also no such thing as the ideal, perfect pastor. All right? A big part of connecting with Door of Life is praying for the church, praying for me as the minister of the church and different areas and functions of the church. But here's kind of another little anecdote that I like to kind of read along these lines. And again, just important to keep in mind that as we're connecting, we're not connecting to perfection. We're connecting to the church God has led us to be a part of. And as we do that, God is going to bless us. So we kind of talked a little bit before about the ideal church. Here's the little anecdote about the ideal pastor. The ideal pastor is difficult to find, but if your church is fortunate, you may be able to secure his services. Since he is the ideal pastor, it won't cost very much. He lives by faith. He can be counted upon to tithe heavily and still be able to afford a large house in which he'll regularly entertain the entire congregation. He loves the older folks of the church, visiting them regularly. Besides this, he spends all of his time with the young people. The glow on his face reveals his secret. He spent many hours on his knees before God. However, he's always available to anyone who drops by for a friendly chat. What's a half hour out of his schedule, since he only works on Sunday anyway? The ideal pastor loves to disciple new converts and gives full-time attention to calling on the elderly, the ill, the shut-in. He has a model family, is always in the church office when you call, and is busy at the hospital, just looking for a soul to comfort. He would never miss a church function, attends every function sponsored by the Ministerial Association. In addition, he meets all his neighbors and civic center leaders within the community and wins their hearts too. The ideal pastor is only 29 and has been preaching for 30 years. He preaches sermons that wins the hearts of the lost, inspires the minds of the mature, produces miracles like Smith Wigglesworth, evangelizes like Billy Graham, has the eloquence of Spurgeon and the fervor of Moody. Yet he is so profoundly simple that even preschoolers are blessed. Teenagers take notes at his sermons. The ideal pastor comprehends the complexity of church finances, has mastery of the church budget, never talks about money. He's a strong believer in holiness and church discipline and never speaks a stern word to anyone. The ideal pastor is easily spotted. Just look for the man dressed in the latest style suit and colored coordinated outfit. He found it at the bottom of the missionary barrel. But he knows how important it is to impress well-to-do newcomers in clothes that say success and achievement. The ideal pastor is tall, short, lean, and husky with brown and blonde hair. He has a deep, resonant voice, which, because it is quietly loud, pleases everyone and is audible to the heart of hearing. He can sing, lead music, and delegates authority to everyone. Besides this, he helps each layman and does all the other things other people are too busy to do. In short, he keeps the entire church and each family running smoothly. You are probably sure by now that you don't have the ideal pastor. Take heart. You can easily reshape your present pastor. He should listen to what you say. After all, he is God's servant. On the other hand, if you happen to have the ideal pastor, just wait a little while. You won't. He'll be confined to a room at the hospital. There is an alternative. Love the pastor you have and pray for him. You prayed, God answered, and now you have him. At least until he finds the ideal church full of the ideal church members. All right. Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Really kind of puts things into perspective. So, you know, as we're participating, as we're joining in, we're not joining a perfect church, as we're praying. You're not hooking up with the perfect person, the perfect pastor, and there's always going to be somebody that you can compare your pastor to and wish that he was da-da-da-da-da. All right? But you realize God's plugged you into this place. God has. Along with its weaknesses, your pastor's weaknesses, and your weaknesses. And so we're realizing, I'm going to pray. It's one of the biggest ways that we influence and affect change, really, in the body of Christ and in ministry and flows is your prayers. They're huge. And here again, this is Paul. Paul, the Apostle Paul, all right? This is the guy, you know, who's just walking in so much. And like I said, he's done, in most of these, I think six of the seven happen right at the very end of the book. Except for Philippians, but here's Paul's exhortations as it relates to prayer. Colossians 4, continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it with thanksgiving. Meanwhile, praying also for us that God would open to us a door for the word, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I'm also in chains, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. He was very specific. He said, pray for me, and this is what to pray. Pray, Paul, Lord, Father, I pray that you'd open a door for Paul to speak the word. That's very clear. And that he would make it manifest as he ought to speak. Ephesians, similar. Take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. And for me, pray for me that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I'm an ambassador of change, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Here's the Apostle Paul. He's praying for the group he just got done correcting and instructing to pray for him that he would have utterance. What is utterance? That's the anointing, the unction of the Holy Spirit to speak under that anointing and grace. Well, shouldn't you just always have utterance? Apparently, it's important to pray for it. Apparently, the Ephesians' prayers for Paul to have utterance really mattered as part of God-ordained, breathed scripture. We're exhorted to pray, pray. And also that he would open his mouth boldly. Think about the Apostle Paul. You think of the Apostle Paul having boldness issues? You just don't think of that. This is the same guy that said, man, persecutions and afflictions await me, but none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself that I may finish my course with joy. It sounds like the boldest guy around. He had boldness. You know why? He asked people to pray for him to have boldness. It wasn't just a swagger. It was a grace that came through prayer. He had a church behind him praying boldness. You know, sometimes, kind of the other end, we celebrated this morning all the things that we have in us by virtue of being in Christ. We got to understand, just because we're in Christ doesn't mean we don't need to pray anymore. Prayer still matters. Prayer matters huge. The Apostle Paul was bold because he had people praying behind him to be bold. It's easy to be critical. Maybe you think, oh, why is Pastor wimpy and weak in an area? Well, are you praying for him to be bold, to open his mouth boldly and speak as he ought to speak? That's one of the things to do. There may be other reasons. There may be some things and times that you don't always know. But I'll tell you what, if you're concerned about boldness, pray for it. Pray for it. Pray for those who are in authority. Pray for that boldness. Paul solicited prayers for boldness. He was connected to a body. And as you're connecting to a body, your prayers connect you in a very powerful way that you don't get glory for down here, or that doesn't make news down here, or that doesn't really get you any glory or favor of men down here in terms of people seeing what you're doing. You go to that prayer closet and you begin to pray for people, and it is a powerful thing. Paul again, now I beg you, brethren, through the Lord Jesus Christ and through the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in prayers to God for me, all right, that I may be delivered from those in Judea who do not believe, and that my service for Jerusalem may be acceptable to the saints, and that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and be refreshed together with you. These are very specific. Pray for me, and this is how to pray. Father, I pray for the Apostle Paul that he would be delivered from those in Judea who don't believe. I pray, Lord, that his service for Jerusalem would be acceptable to the saints, that they would get it, they would connect, that they would receive. I pray, Lord, that you would deliver him, bring him back to us with joy, and that he would be refreshed and that we would be refreshed together. You don't have to be creative. You don't have to be unique. You can just pray what he told you to pray. And God hears that. And because that's the will of God, there's power in that prayer. Powerfully amazing. Prayer is a huge way that we connect when you begin to pray. Philippians 1, what then? Only that in every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached, and in this I rejoice, yes, and will rejoice. For I know that this will turn out for my deliverance. I know this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. Check out that phrase, the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. He's talking in terms of the Holy Spirit of supply. You know, for Paul, the Holy Spirit wasn't just a theological term that you have to figure out and manage and da-da-da-da-da. There was an actual, tangible supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ that was connected even through prayer. There's anointing, there's grace, there's a supply of the Spirit. Well, I can already do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Yes, I can. And I can walk out and I can step in faith. But when we're talking about the body, the ministry, the body of Christ, and how you connect, your prayers infuse power and God-honoring power and strength when you pray. It matters. God honors those prayers. You will be amazed when you get to heaven someday, the rewards you are going to receive because you prayed. When God called you to pray, prayers are huge. Paul, over and over, soliciting prayer. These are just a few other little ones. You know, Jesus wept might be the shortest verse in the Bible. This has got to be right up there with it. 1 Thessalonians 5:25, brethren, pray for us. Just pray for us. Philemon 22, but meanwhile, also prepare a guest room for me, for I trust through your prayers I shall be granted to you. Hebrews 13:18, pray for us. We're confident that we have a good conscience, that we have a good conscience in all things, desiring to live honorably. But I especially urge you to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Pray for us, and kind of connect those thoughts. Pray for us that I may be restored to you the sooner. You see, there's a connection between Paul's praying that I can be delivered, praying for deliverance. In other words, Paul realized he's going into some buzz saws, and he knew that the prayers of the saints affected his deliverance from things. This is Paul praying. This is Paul teaching us how to pray. Our prayers, you know, there's kind of a funny little story in the book of Acts where Peter is really on the eve of his execution and the saints are praying for him to be freed, to be delivered. And God supernaturally sends angels, delivers them from the chains, opens the gate automatically. He goes to the very place they're praying. He knocks on the door. The servant girl answers the door, and she's so astonished. She shuts the door. She's shocked, and she goes and says, "It's Peter." And they're saying, "You're crazy. It can't be Peter. He's in jail." Well, God was answering their prayers. They prayed for his deliverance, and God delivered him. Isn't that an interesting thing? A connection between prayers and deliverance. We just see it through the scriptures. What we're doing, though, is we're praying. We're praying that. And I just so love that the way the Apostle Paul, he prayed that. He gave some specific things to pray for. And I'll just say, you know, as Door of Life Christian Church, you know, in praying for us and being connected in prayer as a church, some things very specifically to pray that, to pray for me. In the same way that the Apostle Paul was shamelessly soliciting prayer for himself, I shamelessly solicit prayer for me as the pastor of Door of Life Christian Church. I need your prayers. I covet your prayers. I pray that I will open my mouth boldly and declare the word and speak as I ought to speak. You know, pray that I'll be spirit-led in how I minister and feed the flock of God. That I'm accurate from week to week in terms of what the church needs. Your prayers are huge and helpful, you know, in the ministry. When I've got that backing in prayer, pray that I am spirit-led in just my pastoral oversight of Door of Life. There's a lot of logistical behind-the-scenes stuff that goes on that we don't clutter up a service like this with. Pray that I'll have those, that the administration, gifting, and guidance in terms of the direction for Door of Life. Also, be in prayer just that the various ministries, there's so many ministries that are going on here at Door of Life, just that the ministries of Door of Life will thrive and flourish and have grace, you know, on the point people that are involved in oversight in some of those areas, that they'll have grace and anointing for their tasks and what they do, and just that our needs will be met as a church, that we can abound toward every good work as a church. And then specifically for the Door of Life family, pray for each Door of Life family member to be knitted together in love, that there would be a unity of the Spirit in Door of Life Christian Church. Pray for just continued spiritual growth for Door of Life Christian Church, that each one may continue to grow up spiritually and overcome things in their lives, that each Door of Life member will be able to find and fulfill and walk out God's plan and purpose for their life. Pray those things over me, over the other ministers in Door of Life, over the family of Door of Life. Praying specifically for those things is powerful. God will hear those prayers. God will honor those prayers. And you, when you pray, here's the cool thing about praying. If you've ever tried this, you pray about something and you see things change. And it's a very joyful, exciting thing. Wow, I prayed about that and it's changing. Yeah. You know, you get the joy of seeing something come to pass. And sometimes it's a very quiet, private, glorious little thing. Sometimes you can talk about it. Sometimes you can't talk about it, depending on what you're praying for. Sometimes you just got to keep it between you and God. But it is really, I'll tell you one thing, just for your personal walk with God, you pray and see something change. You pray and watch something happen. That's a big part of connecting to a local church. Pray. You don't have to spend hours and hours in prayer, okay? It can be quick. If just remembering and praying, it is just when you're praying from your heart and you're praying in faith, that's what blesses God and causes the supply of the Spirit and God's delivering hand and miracle-working hand and healing hand and powerful anointing and grace begin to flow through prayer, getting connected. So anyway, prayer, powerful. And it is amazing, too, when you see prayer, how it does connect you. Even just apart from the church, have you ever just prayed for somebody who was a problem in your life? Just by faith, because the Bible said to do it. When you really pray for those who persecute you and despitefully use you, when you just pray and you have to force yourself to really care about their life and really love them and really want them and to come on the other side of a fence, When you really genuinely pray for somebody, it automatically puts you on their side. And it causes you to cheer for them and say, oh, God, help them. Help them to overcome this. Help them to see through some things. Help them to be free. Prayer forces you to come on their side, alongside. It's the love of God. You know, and so prayer does that with the church too. So instead of being critical of things in the church, you begin to pray for things. It puts you on that side in empathy and understanding. And there's that knitting together in love. So prayer, powerful, powerful way that we get connected. And again, this isn't just Door of Life. This is wherever church you're from. This is one of the ways you do it. And finally, participation. Okay? Participation. One of the ways that we participate in a church, certainly that we see from the scripture, is that there's a financial participation. 2 Corinthians 9 says, but this I say, he who sows sparingly will reap sparingly. He who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully. Again, let's kind of stop here. Realize this does not say he who sows sparingly will go to hell, but he who sows bountifully will go to heaven. Sometimes you can kind of preach, teach, minister this and have its underlying tone. There is no underlying tone here. Your giving financially has zero to do with whether you go to heaven or not. It's not the blood of Jesus plus your tithes and offerings. It's the blood of Jesus alone, period. This is the price that was paid for you to go to heaven. There's nothing you can add to this price. So as we're talking about the financial side, you gotta get that really clear off the bat. There's no, you know, you've heard all this stuff. You've heard it. I mean, you've heard a lot of it. I have too. The era is clean and clear here. We are saved by grace through faith, period. Is there giving in Scripture? Does giving exist in Scripture? Yes. Financial support is another powerful way that you will connect yourself to the body. And you see here how. When you sow sparingly, reap sparingly, sow bountifully, reap bountifully. Let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly or of necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. He's able to make all grace abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may have an abundance for every good work. We pray that a lot, that Ephesians 2 Corinthians 9, 8 verse, when we receive gifts and tithes and offerings at Door of Life Christian Church. But there is a grace that abounds toward you. There is grace that's released through giving. It's not a preacher gimmick. It's the word of God. It is something that God honors, God blesses. Because I'll tell you something, and it really kind of goes hand in hand, I didn't have it here, but just the reference. Jesus said, you know, where your money is, there your heart is also. Your money really does connect you. It commits you. It invests you. And it's not just a financial accounting term, but it really blesses. It connects your heart. You know, one place in the Old Testament, God said, prove me now herewith, regarding tithing, if I won't open the windows of heaven and pour out a blessing more than you can contain. He said, prove me in that. And so we can see here that financial giving is a big part. Let me show you specifically how it works, how the scripture says it works. Now, may he who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food supply and multiply the seed you have sown. Multiply the seed you have sown. That's why he who sows sparingly reaps sparingly, he who sows bountifully reaps bountifully, because he multiplies the seed you've sown. So the more seed you've sown, the more there is to multiply. This is the Bible. This is not a gimmick preacher thing. This is Paul under the anointing and inspiration of the scriptures saying this is how it works. While you are enriched in everything for all liberality, which causes thanksgiving through us to God. Get this, for the administration of this service not only supplies the needs of the saints, but it's also abounding through many thanksgivings to God. While through the proof of this ministry, they glorify God for the obedience of your confession to the gospel of Christ and for your liberal sharing with them and all men, and by their prayer for you, who long for you because of the exceeding grace of God in you. Here is one of the great, great joys that comes out of giving, and you see it right there, is the many thanksgivings to God. I've kind of said, you know, when you're on this, I've been on kind of both sides, you know, in the kind of non-denominational realm for the last, 32 years, I still had a majority of my time in the laity. You know, I've been up here for about 14 years. I've been there for 18 years. And kind of both sides, it's really interesting to see kind of both sides. And yeah, there's some stuff that you deal with. And that's why I pray for your pastor, because there's a lot of stuff that you get on this side. There's a lot of attack. Jesus put it this way, the shepherd is struck and the sheep are scattered. If the enemy can take down the pastor, if he can take you down, he's looking for any way to take you down, it'll affect the sheep big time. And hear the old expression, a twofer, get two for one. Well, if you can take down the shepherd, you get more than a twofer. You get a lot of broken hearts, a lot of discern. And so there's a lot of pressure. And I realize and I see it, and it's like, yeah, pray for me. I know what Paul is talking about, pray for me, pray for me. I'm not just the strength of my consecration. That's part of it, but I need prayer. But here's the cool thing when you're on this side of it, is that what you guys don't always see. You mean you give, you do what God's told you to do, and we are blessed with an amazing giving church at Door of Life Christian Church. But what Paul says here in verse 12, the administration of this service. One of the things that I get to see, because we do a lot of giving at Door of Life Christian Church that we don't publish and we don't make a big deal of because it wouldn't be appropriate. It'd be like blowing a trumpet. People that are hurting in certain situations that we're able to help out. And it's very private and it's quiet and it's discreet. You know, we're accountable, but it's one of those things we don't broadcast. What I get the joy of seeing is I get the joy of seeing the tears in the eyes and the smiles on the face and sometimes just looks of disbelief when Door of Life, we're able to just bless people in ways that they just didn't even think possible. And it is like, wow, this is really one of those things on this side is really awesome. I think, you know, because sometimes when I get to be the carrier, the administrator, you know, of the gift, I think, Lord, I think at the judgment seat of Christ, when you guys are standing around the judgment seat of Christ someday, I wonder if he's going to let you have a replay of what I get to see. There's a lot of people whose lives have been touched and changed and helped and healed through your giving. You just can't even know. And I pray, it's one of the blessings, again, being here, that you can see what I see. Because it's an amazing thing. And we receive tithes and offerings for the helping of the church, but really for that we can abound toward every good work. And when you see somebody hurting and destitute, and you have sufficiency to bless that good work, it is such a joy. And that's really what the giving is all about. It's ultimately your giving. But what is happening, it's that not only supplies the needs of the saints, but is also abounding through many thanksgivings to God. And I get to see that when I'm able to give somebody something and immediately praise God, hallelujah, glory to God, hallelujah. I mean, it's really amazing. I mean, our food pantry out there, people come to me, even in a service, tears, crying. Just, it's helped keep them going. Food on their tables. You know, the scripture says, he who gives to the poor, lends to the Lord, and the Lord will repay. That's powerful. God makes himself a lender when you give to somebody who can't repay you. God says, okay, I'm the borrower here, and I'll pay you back. The compassionate heart of God. He sees that giving, and that giving connects you. It connects you to the other believers. It connects you, invests you personally, but it also blesses the body of Christ, you know, here and abroad. And then, let me see here. The other thing, the giving is basically not only the giving of financially, participating financially, but participating in your time. Now, in those days when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, "It is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 7 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the word." We could see that for the ministry to continue and flow, it's not that they were too good to wait on tables, they were doing it, but they just couldn't do that and the word at the same time, and they needed help. They needed administrative help and oversight. And there's just participation in the ministry in different facets. And so one of the other ways that'll connect you to the body of Christ is when there is a participating of your time in various ministries. Now, this could be the form of serving or even receiving of and partaking of ministry. There will be an investment of time. In this case, they needed some people to help out so that they could stay on track and stay on message with the word of God and getting people saved. Here again, I'll kind of revisit this verse. It says, "From whom the whole body joined knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." New Living really makes it nice and plain. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. And what is this saying? There is an anointing, there's a grace on each one of us to really, you could say, to do our part. There's specific things that God has graced us to do. And so that's where there is, there's an equipping. And, you know, the scripture, I don't have it here, just a reference, Ephesians 4:11 says, he gave apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, pastors, teachers, for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. In other words, these gifts that we have up here, ministry, are really to equip you to walk out and do what God has called you to do and to fulfill it. And so another way you'll get connected is God will begin to speak to your heart, minister to your heart in some way to get connected, some way to participate, okay? And like I've said too in a sermon a few weeks ago, being connected, ultimately doing what God has called you to do, it may connect up to a specific church program, it may not. You know, you may have a business that God has called you to do, and I can tell you this, as you commit yourself to that business, and I've seen wonderful business men and women do this, they commit themselves to that business, they see amazing things happen. They see themselves blessed and flourish in that business, and what they have in that business, it's not a church program on a Sunday morning, but they have a testimony that they carry with them. And they acknowledge God in their business. And I'm going to tell you, the harvest field and where they're at is where you live. Because it's not just about a business. Wherever you are, people are there. And you're doing stuff. And you're being salt and light. And you're affecting and you're influencing an area when you commit yourself to God. So God may call you to do something that doesn't map specifically to a church program. It may just be anointed and graced to do what he's called you to do, but people are being blessed, people are being encouraged, and you're knowing God more, and you're having an influence wherever you are. That's the bottom line. Praise God. So keep that in mind. I do, however, want to let you know, well, I've got this opportunity to just let you know, and this is a sheet, I'm going to publish this and put it in the back Welcome Center, but it's basically a list of all the different areas of ministries and the point people with their contact information, okay? But I just want to kind of give you a quick overview. Of course, this is a living document as it's changing and growing. Like I said, the vision of Door of Life Christian Church is defined by the good works he's ordained you to walk in. God may stir something up in you and say, hey, you know, Pastor Rudd, what about this? And there's a grace and anointing to walk in. Hey, cool, yeah, let's talk about that, you know? And so there are things, this is continually changing. But here's just some areas that we have at Door of Life. These are alphabetical, so if they seem to jump around, that's why. The first letter will be the clue. The AV, the soundboard, CD duplication, the visuals, things like that. There's a whole ministry right back there, you know, for people to plug in, get involved in. We've got our Bible study on Wednesday evenings that you can come on out, partake of. We're talking about getting further connected. Just ways. In a Bible study, it's cool because, you know, on a Sunday morning, a preacher's delivering a message. On a Wednesday night Bible study, it's back and forth. It's dialogue. It's challenging. It's digging into the Word of God. And also that Wednesday night Bible study is also a forum for prayer. We do a lot of praying on Wednesday nights, too, for individual needs. We'll pray for the church just kind of as the Spirit leads. So there's a real ebb and flow of prayer and the Word that takes place on a Wednesday night. If you've got something that you'd really like to bring before some believers who love God and are going to get together with you and agree with you, come on out on a Wednesday night. Bring it up as a prayer request. We'll pray with you. We'll agree with you. So that is a powerful way to get connected too. We've got the Bridges Ministry, which is starting, it's concluding now, but it goes, you know, through, I think it'll go through the end of September. We hosted, I think, one of the final events, the talent show, but that's a great international student ministry to the folks that come here for their summer. You can help them and be a part of blessing them and being a part of influencing them for Christ. Also, building and grounds. You know, we've got, you know, just the ministry of building. Maybe you're a fix-it person. You know, maybe you're really handy and, you know, we'll put you in touch. Let our building and grounds guy know that, hey, I can help out, you know, and he can be there to know that, all right, I got another good, handy person who really knows how to fix things. Church setup before the service. We set up things, waters, communion, you know, monthly, and envelopes and all that stuff. Pre-service setup things there. We've got the custodial cleaning. That's every week. We've got a faithful, blessed crew that does that for us. If you'd want to help out and pitch in and lighten the load, you're welcome to do that. Financial Peace University. That's a class I'm going to be talking about in just a few minutes that we're offering at Door of Life. Dave Ramsey, many of you know of him. It's just another opportunity to get involved, to plug in, to receive of the ministry there, further connect you with other believers, not only at Door of Life, but also throughout the Door County community. The food pantry. Do you have an interest in stocking and organizing food? You know, that's one of the things, greeters, that warm, friendly face that greets people, that in first impression at the door, to be a part of that. Kids ministry, kids church, helping our young kids get the Word of God in them. Landscaping is another big one where we could, you know, if you've got a desire to help out and minister in the area, that, you know, we'll take all the help we can get and to be a part of that ministry, beautifying the place that we have here. Men's ministry is something that we meet once a month right now on Saturday mornings called Halftime, and that's something you can come out, be a part of, be encouraged, meet other guys. It's a big part of getting connected. There's the ministry serving side, but then there's the connecting through these various ministries as you're participating. We've got missions outreach. We're going to be having a mission Sunday in October. And if you have a desire to go on missions trips, things like that, that's another area that you can be plugged into, be aware of what's going on, being praying for missionaries. Also, we've got the nursery ministry as well, plugging in and helping our small children, you know, speaking life over them, creating a peaceful environment for them. We've got ministry outreach opportunities, Feed My Starving Children, Operation Christmas Child. These are some things that are going on seasonally as well to feed the poor and to help hurting people. We have the Treasure Seeker Program, which is a midweek program to help get the Word of God again into our kids, and a great opportunity to get young kids saved as well, too, as it's an outreach to the community for people that don't necessarily even go here. It's a great ministry to children. So if you have an interest in that, that's available. We've got our Vacation Bible School. That's in June, VBS, that we can plug into. It's a week long, but a lot of opportunities. We have a Women's Aglow as well, too, that you can be involved with, a great fellowship of women of God, and that will be a blessing to your life. We've got we have a Women's Fellowship and Prayer Gathering that just meets periodically. You know, that it's just the sweet presence of the Lord. Kind of family time for the Door of Life women to kind of come aside and just enjoy some fellowship and in prayer and just some good time together. That meets periodic. We've got our worship ministry, of course. We've got ensembles that are offered. And we've got, you know, music opportunities, you know, musicians and playing things. So, you know, be aware that we've got those opportunities. Also, we've got youth ministry, that we've got an Alpha program that meets on Sunday evenings. Currently, that's also something you can just be praying for and bless and be a part of. So this is like 23 different facets of ministry with over 16 different point people, okay? What you see up here on a Sunday morning is a big minority of what's going on at Door of Life Christian Church. This service by design is very impactful, word, worship, fellowship. That's what this time is for, all right? For your time of being knit together in the body of Christ. But beyond that, there's a bunch of stuff going on at Door of Life. A lot of different ministries and a lot of people that are facilitating. Key point people at Door of Life that really help the facility of all these other different ministries. So why are we saying there's participation? So I just kind of throw those out there at a high level. You know that there are tremendous opportunities. And again, I will have a current, present, up-to-date version of this on the Welcome Center next week. If you'd like to take a look at it and kind of prayerfully consider maybe some areas that you'd like to get involved, you'll have some direct contact numbers there to be able to do that. And so, you know, in closing, I just really wanted to let you know specifically, it is important if God is leading you, guiding you to a church, there are levels in which you can get connected, okay? And of course, that first level is presence. Your being here is huge. Your presence here is absolutely just so impactful to what goes on a Sunday morning. We're so appreciated. Again, we're not legalistic and weird. If you're missing it, you know, I'm not going after. You know me. I'm pretty easy as far as, you know, I'm not a big heavy or anything like that. I believe God leads you. He's your Lord. I'm not your Lord. The Scripture says I'm your pastor, not your master. I'm not lording over the flock of God. I'm not micromanaging you or your lives. I'm here to feed you and to pray for you and to be a blessing into your life. But at the same time, your participation will connect you with what's going on and with the spirit of what's going on here. Also, prayer is another big one, too. Pray for me. Pray for the various ministries of the church. Pray for the precious family at Door of Life for our continued growth and blessing. And then finally, participation. There's a financial participation, and there's also a participation of your time. Whether you're receiving further of ministry, getting connected with other relationships, or whether you're actually serving in the ministry. And I'll just say this. This is something, if God has connected you to, then you can. I'm not here to tell you got to do this, that, and the other. Let the Holy Spirit show you. Maybe you're just connected at a presence level. Praise God. All right? If you're just connected at presence, thank God. We are so glad you're here. We're so glad you're connected at the presence level. All right? The Holy Spirit will show you. Step by step, he'll begin to guide you into further ways to connect. And again, you're not connecting to perfection. You're not connecting to the perfect body or the perfect pastor here. You're connecting to a work spiritually that's in progress that God has you a part of. And he's going to use you powerfully and mighty where he's planted you. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you so much this morning just for the fact that you do put us in a body. You put us in a body of believers that we can connect with, that we can have those times of just repose and being able to get away, that time of halftime where we can come in on a day, on a morning like today, and be encouraged in our faith and be built up, oh Lord, to where even though we're not home yet, we can get the encouragement of home as we come together and encourage each other in the Lord. I just pray for each one here too that is here, that they would just be blessed today by being here, that you'll just continue to affirm where you have them, Father God. And we just thank you too, Lord, just for the connection of prayer. I just pray, Lord, that you'll just lead your people to just pray, Father God, and show them even how to pray. Pray for me, to pray for the ministry, to pray for the family members of Door of Life Christian Church that will continue to grow and function. Father God, we thank you for that precious connection of prayer and the supply of the Spirit and the deliverance and just the utterance that comes with simply praying, Father, not to impress you or to be fancy or clever or unique, just simply requesting because we have need. And you honor that and you bless that. And Father, we thank you too just for the opportunity to participate, Lord, that we can do stuff with our finances that cause other people to cry, to rejoice, to weep for your loving hand of care as they give you the glory, as you use us. Help us, Lord, to know what you'd have us to do. We thank you, Father God, for participating in programs and times. We thank you, Lord, for those areas where our calling, our giftings do map to a church program. Maybe you want us to get involved. We pray, Lord, that you would lead and guide us into all truth. That if there's an area of ministry or something you want us to be a part of, that the precious Holy Spirit will just lead us and show us what that is, Father. We thank you for the precious body of Christ and that each one of us are members that have been set in as you pleased. We give you praise and thanksgiving for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.